Following podcasts may contain sensitive themes not suitable for all audiences, and it is not a replacement for seeking or maintaining a professional health relationship. Listener discretion is advised. To learn more information regarding additional disclaimers, privacy policies, and terms and conditions, please visit HelloDrTammy.com.
Bonjour, hello, this is Dr. Tammy, your host of Psychologist Say, a podcast where we create conversations about everyday life from a clinical psychologist perspective. Hello to Psychologist Say podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tammy, and I'm joined today by two of my production team members, Kyler McGillis and Rob Jolly. How are you two doing today?
I'm doing good. Got my coffee right here and I'm ready to talk.
All right. How about you, Rob?
Feeling great, feeling good. Ready to get season two off and running.
Season two. I'm excited as well. I also have my coffee in my mug and I picked, I'll show you too. It's trust in the Lord. So the cup that you drink your coffee out of, definitely, this was a meme. It definitely matters. And so I try to find an inspirational cup and I needed this one today. It's been a long month for me and a long 2 years, I guess, for everybody, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. So we're gearing up here and starting on our season two. Season one for Psychologists Say, oh, there you go, Kyler, one more cup. That's what his coffee mug says.
I need it.
So for our listeners out there, we're really excited because we wrapped up our first season of Psychologists Say, and it went over pretty well, I would say, for for being newbies in the podcast world. We were rated by a psychology review as one of the 20 best clinical psychology podcasts, and this is by FeedSpot. And so Psychologists Say, out of the top 20, we came in at number 10. We appreciate this and we want to give a big shout out to FeedSpot. Thank you for listening and thinking what we have to say is valuable because it is a lot of work. And to us, it does feel definitely like information that needs to reach people in our nation, especially now during these unsettling times of ongoing COVID. And so I just want to say that I'm hoping that this review by FeedSpot is going to help people check in and really see what we're about. This second season, we're focusing our attention on the pandemic and where we're at, where we've come from, looking back, looking forward, but mostly where we are right now, because I believe that's where we need to be. You know, in psychology, we need to focus with the here and now, even though we may want to press fast forward, or sometimes some of us are stuck in rewind, and sometimes your rewind would get stuck, or fast forward, and they would just go, 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 right? And so I do believe that this is our podcast second season being really centered and focused on this pandemic is vital right now, because I feel like many people are stuck in one of those modes. And maybe there's somebody stuck with both. I don't know if you've ever tried to hit both of those buggers at the same time, the fast forward and the rewind. Usually what happens is your tape just totally starts to unravel. And so today we'll just be talking about some of the impacts that we've been struggling with and highlight our Indigenous communities, because our entire team at Psychologists Say, we are Native Indigenous, that we are struggling and dealing with this pandemic on a different level. Everybody deals with this, has been dealing with this, according to their own cultural, spiritual, and societal beliefs. Yet there's some shared commonality between American Indian communities, our individuals, where we're really we're kind of stuck in that rewind, fast forward period, because many of us are just still dealing with this. And there's not a lot of resources or help, even though it seems like there's an abundance of them. So that's where I kind of feel like it's, is there really help? And why do I feel like I can't access it? Although I have support lines to call, although I have books to read about this pandemic, the hospital, my community tell me that they care. I can't, maybe some of us can't get an appointment to be seen. I feel like this is kind of where our society is. And I don't know how many of our other listeners are out there that can relate to us, but I live in Indian country. I live in a reservation, on a reservation lands. I'm seeing the impact, the really heavy load that we're carrying right now of people who have been mentally traumatized, emotionally traumatized, physically hurt by this pandemic. And it's ongoing right now. We're not in the past. We're not past. We've been able to maybe think we can come out into the community, come out and be well, come out and hug your loved one. And then yet people are still dying from COVID as we speak. We need to talk about this. And I'm glad that we're being sponsored by the North Dakota Department of Human Services to be able to do this for the next 20 sessions. And there's been a lot of research that has been coming out with the impacts of COVID, the pandemic, in terms of our mental health and how well we're doing. And, you know, I don't, throughout the next episodes in this series, we'll be able to pull some of these articles out and give our listeners a little bit of information about the important work that's being done in our Indigenous communities. Today with my guest, Kyler and Rob, we're going to talk about one article that we found, and it is about the effects of COVID on mental health in Indigenous communities. It is showing that Indigenous communities were suffering the mental health and physical impacts at higher levels, disproportionate to any other race. Your just your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think from what I've seen or observed of COVID-19 is that it hit Native Americans a lot tougher than some people. And I say that in part because of being interested in business and seeing a lot of COVID funding that wasn't being released right away because some tribes were kind of at capacity for their financial advisors and everything. So I do see how this can hit from many aspects. And, you know, some of the closest thing to people is being able to put food on the table and to be able to pay for that or to be able to get help from the government. I guess one of my questions would be, do you have any specific examples of how not being able to put food on the table during COVID or not getting the resources you need might have affected them and might still affect them today?
Well, and right away, you know, your body needs nourishment. It's one of our basic needs it's our basic core need of feeling safe. Is to be fed and not intellectually, spiritually. Those are all higher levels. Those are all in a way privileged. Like we're privileged if we can have a full belly, literally like full of food and nutrition, to be able to then have the privilege to be intellectually stimulated after that or spiritually, you know, lifted. When somebody is starving, or their body is depleted of the minerals and vitamins that it needs to survive, this is an area where I just can't even believe that it's still occurring in this day and age. It's not just through the pandemic. Our Native communities are in what's called food insecurity. They have food insecurity. They don't have access. There's very limited access to grocery stores. Some of our Native people who are living in rural areas that are isolated, and they may not have the transportation to even get to a grocery store. And some of the communities, they don't actually have a full-time, like a supermarket or a grocery store. They may have a convenience stop where it's more like a gas station where you can get convenience food, heavily processed foods that they may provide you with enough energy and some, but not the nourishment, not the the ability to feed your body in a good way. That's what's needed at a time like this. And through not even only in this, during this pandemic, but imagine how much harder it would be to survive this without having the basics of food. And so this is a really tough area to talk about because there were a lot of people struggling during COVID, and I had to remind myself mentally of, oh boy, you're not struggling, Tammy. You have cupboards over, you have food all over the place. And so if you're struggling, that's because you have the privilege to struggle because either you're bored or you don't have the kind of food you're craving. You know, you're just unsatisfied. You just cannot take a grateful gratitude look at what you have, because you can't imagine being in a position where you go to your cupboards and there's nothing in there. And this is not an exaggeration. This is happening, and it's happened not only to our Indigenous people, but to people who live in any kind of poverty situation. This can happen to kids who don't have somebody caring for them. This was the situation we are still in, where community members maybe can't access or help those people in need because of those restrictions. So it's a heavy time because we're not out of it. Yet for those people who are fully aware and who do the work of feeding people, I'm sure the shutdown was excruciating because they knew how many kids or people didn't have food.
To add on to that, growing up on reservations, we've always seen that there has been a high prevalence of chronic illnesses among Native American populations, right? And which include diabetes and obesity. But what you're saying is that COVID-19 played a large factor in kind of accelerating that lack
definitely
in quality of care.
Definitely. I mean, and that's the thing of we're already dealing with limited resources or our manpower. Sometimes I think we have the resources, and what I feel personally is sometimes we don't have the manpower to be able to implement and carry out. Sometimes I'll be honest, I even turn away resources. Some people are willing to give help, and yet I don't have the manpower to organize and implement being helpful sometimes. Now, that is a real problem that I don't know how many other people, other communities, other races can fully grasp that feeling. And I can't say it's unique to us, but I know as an Indigenous person who's in this line of work, who tries to be somebody that is vigilant and aware of how our people are suffering, that's where I think it is. It's actually called compassion, a bit of compassion fatigue as well. And we will be addressing what that is in upcoming episodes, because it's maybe a bit of kind of what I'm even feeling today is just a little drained, a lot emotional, heavy, feeling an abundance of emotion and a feeling of overwhelm. And it has nothing to do with the type of work I do. I love the work that I do. But compassion fatigue is a sense of feeling almost it's like a secondary trauma to witnessing and seeing and hearing about the trauma around you. So I definitely want to let our listeners know that we'll talk about that more. I can't talk about that all today. And maybe today isn't the best day for me to talk about compassion fatigue, because I'm heavily relating to it. Make sure to just check in further episodes, because I also do a training on this. It's a 2-day intensive training, and it's specialized for Indian country. And so that's something that can be available within the next year, something that I'm not doing, of course, right now, because when you're feeling fatigued, you need to not speed up, you need to slow it down. And I think that's what we need to do in terms of COVID and Indian country and across the nation and the world, is get out of fast forward, because we're not beyond this. Those of us who are so scared of and living in the past of it. We really need to start to navigate and get some sense of grounding of where am I right now in this? I can sympathize, I can empathize with all of you because I feel it. I feel a sense of that stuckness. And it is harder for some of our Indigenous people, definitely, because some of us are on the front lines. Some of us, we don't just talk it, we don't just research it, we live it. We work it, we see it, and it's a different view.
To add on to that, I would say that it does get tough at the end of the day when you even realize that your own government seems to keep you out of so much, specifically speaking on COVID-19 data on Native Americans, which I saw an article the other day, Abigail Echohawk, hopefully get her on the show soon. That would be awesome to hear you two talk. She's talking about it being a national disgrace, how there's not a whole lot of times Native Americans are included in the data, especially on COVID-19 when it affects us so much tougher. Not to say that it doesn't affect others as well, but already having some of these issues, right?
Definitely. You know, the Donald Warren, you know, I think he might have even coined it as medical neglect for Indian communities. And I'm looking at, I don't have the exact quote, but I'm looking at an article where he was quoted, and it's the effects of COVID-19 on mental health of Indigenous communities. And Sandola was a person who reviewed the article. So definitely another guest that I would love to talk to, because what I know is psychology, and it can be, I'm not the expert in all these areas, that it would sure be nice to hear from our fellow Indigenous people out here doing really vital, important work. The research that's being done, it's that image of hope for me. It's that piece of excitement that I need to know that whatever burdens I feel like I'm carrying, that I'm not alone. I'm one small piece of what's going on in a much larger scale of Indigenous people getting out there. They may not be able to be on the front lines. They may not be able to live in their community or on a reservation or in an Indigenous organization. They're still out there doing that work, because we need Indigenous people in every area, in government, in organizations like nonprofits, in the area of education, higher education. We need Indigenous people in research, in behavioral sciences, in spiritual movements. We need Indigenous people to definitely do what I think we're doing, is stepping up, using our voice, and no longer letting other people not classify us, just put us into a category of other. And that's the data, where there's such a small percentage of us in the nation. We rarely have data consistent with our own tribes, our own people. So we have to rely on data that's been collected from others. It's really hard to feel included in feeling like you're valued when you're categorized as an other. So are you just misclassified? Because you're not, whatever your identifying is not on the checkbox when they're doing data collection. So I would love to have more conversations with individuals. And I know that we are going to be reaching out to some. And those of you who are listening, if you have important research that you've done and that's been published, or if you have a book out there, we want to hear from you, because this is the only way we're going to get these resources out, is by talking about them, and in talking about them in a way that people can understand, and trying to get them the information they need in a way that they can actually use it. And sometimes that's what it is. It's simply letting somebody hear or witness a conversation about the work being done. So you brought up excellent points, Kyler. I want to thank you for being part of this. Rob, you're just right there listening. And I know this is heavy stuff for all of us. And part of this work that we're doing together, it's going to be a healing process for us and hopefully for our listeners. And I just appreciate you and everybody who's part of Psychologist Say. And I want to, again, just thank the North Dakota Department of Human Services, because they are sponsoring the work that we're doing for this COVID series on helping our communities address and the changes and the adjustments that we need to make right now during this phase of the pandemic.
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Tammy. It's nice to be back on the episodes. Thanks, Rob, for all your hard work. It's fun to be back on here and talking about Indigenous issues. It's not always fun, but finding ways to solve it and finding ways to talk about it's a great start. So,
it sounds like you did the PS for today.
Yeah, I think I did.
Shout out to Kyler. That's the PS. Let's talk about it. It's work. It takes work, but we're here to do that. Miigwech.